You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show today. Today I'm going to talk about something called breakage. And I am doing this one solo tonight. I don't have a guest with me because this topic is so important. We live in a weird time with this juxtaposition where it's easier than it's ever been to learn anything, to do anything you want, to start a business, to sell around the world. And at the same time, there's more pressure, there's more negativity, and there's all these oppositional forces. So one of the things that I know for sure is that you and I, we are each divine beings. We were created. We aren't accidents. We're created on purpose. And that every person, and I talk to a lot of people. I'm a coach. I have clients around the world, and I have intentional networking set up. So I meet maybe a dozen, somewhere between 8 and 12 new people every week. And you know what I hear from almost every person is I hear this. You know, I really like to help people. Now, that's this sort of vague sentence that says, wow, I like helping people. And you know what? That's a key to your ultimate life. Now, this show is called Your Ultimate Life. And I picked the word ultimate on purpose because ultimate means ultimate. Now, we live in a day of exaggeration and hype, and puffery is the cute word that some people use. Puffery means you make something sound, as good as you possibly can. Maybe it's too good to be true. And there are people that, you know, flat out exaggerate, and then there are worse people that lie about stuff. But even before that, we make things sound extreme, and then that becomes a contest. Everybody's got to one-up everybody else. So if you look, if you're trying to solve a problem and you look online, you hear stuff that says, oh, I can teach you how to do Facebook ads. I can teach you how to build a business. I can teach you how to write a book. And then used to be, oh, you know, you can have it done in a year or 6 months. And now, you can have your book done in a weekend. And you can have your book done without even thinking about it. You know, not quite. But you see those kinds of exaggerations over and over again. And what it does is it makes us jaded. Like, we don't believe most of what we hear. And so what happens is instead of retreating to the truth, we get worse and worse as a society in exaggerating more and more. And you see real evidence of this in media coverage, where it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, everybody is trying to be more extreme than the last person, than last week, than last year. So if you look at this year, last year, year over year, things just get more and more extreme, and we get more and more used to it. And by used to it, I mean we get thicker and thicker skin, and we just ignore everything, and we assume they're all full of crap. That's really sad, because then when things are real and true, it's really easy to just ignore them and let them go by, even if they might be really useful and helpful. One of the casualties of this jaded world is truth. I'll give you an example. Here's a funny thing I use with clients when we're talking about the word commitment, which is I say I'm going to do something, and, you know, people mean different things. So here's an example. Someone says to you, yeah, I'll be there somewhere, right? And that's what they say. Well, in many situations, and I would venture to guess most of the time, when someone says, yeah, I'll be there, or yeah, I'll do it, what they really mean, the subtext is, if I still remember, if I still feel like it, if I don't get a better offer, and if you don't piss me off between now and then. And if any one of those things happen, I forget, I get a better offer, I don't feel like it, or something bad happens between us, and then I don't show up, you or I, whoever was on the receiving end, we're just supposed to understand, oh, well, that's okay. Well, you know, oh, I forgot I had to do this. Oh, okay. And it's sort of this acceptable escape clause that we just sort of societally have agreed on. And that's just disgusting. And you know how else you know? Because if somebody really wants you to believe something, then they add all these other words. You know, I really, no, I swear on whatever you swear on, heaven or your mother's grave or whatever. I swear. And no, I promise, I really mean it this time. And we add all this other garbage because our regular word has stopped meaning anything. Our conversation has become so jaded and so situational, I guess I'll say, that we don't even know anymore when we're telling or being told the truth. That makes us more and more jaded, which means we don't believe things that we hear, and that infects our lives. We don't believe we can succeed. We don't believe things will work out for us. We don't believe good stuff can come. We don't believe that we can create things. Well, the casualty of all of this jadedness and negativity is our hope. And when we live without hope, without real hope for possibility, that's what I call being locked in a cage. Now, I use the word cage on purpose. I think of, like, I don't know if you're old enough, you know, old like me, you might remember Sylvester the cat on TV. And a funny cat, right? Always walked on two legs, or mostly. But there was another character in that film called Tweety Bird. And Tweety Bird was always swinging in a little cage, you know, protected from Sylvester the cat, because Sylvester, the Tweety Bird was in the cage and Sylvester couldn't get in there. Well, imagine being in a cage. There's just some bars there, and you can see the life you want. You can see the money, the accomplishment, the acclaim, the good health, the good situation, the good family, the good spiritual relationship, whatever you want. You can see it out there because you see somebody else has it, or you think they do, because today we have all the lies that are accompanied with or that come along with social media. And I don't mean there isn't truth there, but people tend to put on their social media accounts highlight reels. So we see those things and we go, oh, look at that. Everything's perfect. I want to have that coolness, whatever it is, right? Car, house, money, situation, success, book done, whatever. So we see that and we want it. We want it. And it's like straining against the bars of the cage, right? Your arm is in between the bars and you're reaching out for that thing. Oh, and you can't reach it, right? And so the bars are preventing you from getting it. It's like there's this old mythology thing, and I can't remember who it was, but there was some grumpy king that was punished for being such a jerk, and his eternal punishment was that he was in hell or the underworld or whatever, and there was a glass. He was thirsty, and there was a glass of water right there. And I think he was hungry, and there was a bunch of grapes right there hanging in front of him, right? And every time he reached for them, they moved, right? So he would be tormented permanently with this bunch of grapes in front of him. And never, ever, ever get him. And that obviously was intended to be forever as his eternal torment. Well, are you living locked in a cage? Are you living yearning or lusting or desiring or aching to have something different in your life? I don't know, but nearly everyone that I talk to has either an active yearning, they really want this thing, or if we talk about it for a minute, it uncovers a yearning that they have. So I had a conversation this morning, and like I said, I meet many people every week, so I had a conversation this morning, and this individual was a very nice person, doing good in the world, following their passions. And yet, as we dug into it a little bit more, it was clear that there was a significant area of uncertainty and lack of fulfillment. And as the conversation progressed, I could sense the yearning. Oh, I don't have that, and I really want it. And I wasn't trying to create that. I just asked questions. So if you're honest with yourself right now, just answer this question. Are you living the life you want? I don't know the answer, but you do. Do you have the health, physical health you want? Do you get up in the morning like you want to? Are you energized and full of excitement for your day? Or is that only on days that are special when you're going on vacation or going to a party? Is your day-to-day life just full of excitement and joy, where you fly out of bed every day? Why? Because you can, because you're so excited about what your day is going to bring. Now, you might think I'm nuts for asking that question, because you might believe, and many do, that it's impossible to live like that, that it's impossible to live every day of your life in a joyful way. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not impossible. In fact, it's very possible, and we're going to talk tonight about that process, because I did not used to live like that. In fact, I lived the opposite. I remember in old times, times past, my favorite phrase was, I just want to be unconscious. And how I got unconscious didn't matter, sleep, drinking, whatever. But the point was, I was so tired of, scared of, angry at, frustrated with the life, the circumstances that I had, not knowing how to fix it and change it, that I just would say, and I remember saying it all the time, I just want to be unconscious. I just want to be unconscious, so that the reality, the pain, internally, externally, struggles and everything else, were not pressing on my heart. Now, let's talk just a little bit more about why that was so, because that feeling was so intense that I resorted to bad behaviors, drinking, drugs, and other things to eliminate it, to accomplish that unconsciousness. Now, my life at the time was I made a lot of money, let's put it that way. From the outside, my life at the time from the outside looked, wow, this guy has it all. I remember someone in my neighborhood telling me every time he drove by my house, he had garage envy. And he explained that when he looked in my garage, I had things that he wanted, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? My experience of that life was pure, absolute misery. And I bought stuff just to buy it. I hated myself. I hated my situation. I hated the work that I had that paid me all that money. So it doesn't matter whether you're broke or whether you're rich. It doesn't matter whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. It doesn't matter if you have a great relationship or a crummy relationship. You can be happy or sad in either circumstance. And I can already hear the shouting saying, no, that's not true. So-and-so did this and that to me. I'm not denying the impact of the behavior of others. I have experienced that in spades, as I'm sure you have. Injustice, abuse, unkindness, betrayal. Those things happen. Life happens all around us. And they happen to everybody. And sometimes it might seem like you're getting more than your share right now or for the last 10 years. I don't know. I lived locked in that cage, building big success career-wise and then trashing it, big success and then trashing it like a roller coaster from hell, up and down and up and down, and I would trash my own success. So I would build it up for some years, success, and then I would feel somehow I don't deserve this. I would wreck it, build it again and wreck it, build it again and wreck it. And by wreck it, I mean wreck it, you know, lose the situation. In one situation, it even ended in bankruptcy and completely being broke and all that kind of stuff. So those things are real. And sometimes there were externalities. I had a boss once. This is a funny story. It wasn't funny then. It's funny now. I had a boss once who was a chief operating officer. This was a CEO. And this boss didn't like me. He couldn't get rid of me because I knew more about running this business that we were in than he did, and he knew that. But he didn't like it, and that was one of the reasons he didn't like me. So he hired someone, and he hired them, and this is now 20-something, 23 or 24 years ago. And so this was a pretty substantial salary then. Hired him for $200-something thousand dollars a year. And the assignment that he gave this new person was to take me down. I know that because later that person told me that was the terms of their arrangement. So I tell you that, again, not to say poor me. Stuff happens, right? That was literally the purpose of hiring that individual. Take down Kellen. So stuff happens around you. I'm not denying that. We've just had a pandemic, and we're now in the midst of, you know, some inflationary pressures. And I don't think they're reporting inflation accurately at all. My wife keeps really good track of food. She has a mind for that, food prices and household things. And she can quote to me what this and that cost a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. And the rate of increase is really surprising. So there's real pressure there. And again, those are externalities. Those are things that happen outside of us. But you get to choose whether you're locked in a cage over that or not. And I didn't learn that until much later in life. I lived that roller coaster mess for 30 years, not for 15 minutes or a year or 30 months or anything else, 30 years. Finally, in 2007, which is now 15 years ago, I had an experience that allowed me to realize that I had the power to change. I had to do it. There was no magic. That didn't come from outside either. It came from inside. And so what I want to talk about now is this idea of being locked in a cage, a prison of your own making. And I want you to be fully, I want you to become, as we talk tonight, fully aware that you made this prison and you can get out of it. You have the key. Now, you might again be freaking out saying, hey, you know, so-and-so did thus and such. I'm not questioning who did what to you or the effect of any of those externalities. Believe me, I've had my share. And this is not a contest to see whose were worse. But I've had a pile that made me even go so far as to try to commit suicide a couple of times during the rough years. So, they drove me to that level of despair. But let's talk about this cage, what it's made out of, and how to break the cage. Because living in a cage where you are kept from reaching the ultimate life, and I have a particular definition of the ultimate life, but I'd like you to get your own. My definition is to live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create by serving with your divine gifts. Some people like a more clear or powerful focus on the material, and so I say clarity, confidence, and cash. Do you want a life of clarity, confidence, and cash, purpose, prosperity, and joy? You can have it. So let's talk about this cage, where it came from, and how you stay locked in it, and how to break that cage. Now, I use the word cage as an acronym, C-A-G-E, right? And the C, when we're locked in a cage, the four letters stand for compare, abandon, grumble, and excuse. Compare, abandon, grumble, and excuse. So let's talk about that. And the bars of the cage, they have names too, right? The bars, the words written on the bars in fire on the steel is fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage. So if you're living in a cage where the bars are labeled fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage, and while you're in there, locked in that cage, compare, abandon, grumble, excuse, here's what life looks like. Fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage are keeping you locked in the cage. And so what you do, you compare your life, your lot, your situation, your circumstances to somebody else. Well, that used to be a little difficult to do. We would see people on TV and a little bit in the newspaper and some magazines. Today, and in the last 10 or more years, I think Facebook started in, 2006 or 7 or 8 or something. I don't know. But it's been around for a while. So Facebook and then others, MySpace. Ooh, I got an email from MySpace a little while ago telling me that my pictures were still there. But anyway, back in those times, when that started, it became easier and easier to find out about people, to compare. There's the first letter, compare. So then we compare our lives to somebody else's highlight reel that they share on whatever platform they happen to be on, and those platforms proliferate. They come and go. Who remembers Periscope? Periscope came and went in a flash in the pan, and today it's, TikTok and Snapchat and you know, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, whatever. I don't even know all of them. So when you compare, you're always going to come off lousy. Why is that? Well, there's lots of theories. Some people say our brain is wired for negativity, that over 70% of the patterns we have are negative. I heard from one of my guests on my, I have a podcast besides this one called Your Ultimate Life. I'd invite you to check that out. Your Ultimate Life, same name as this show, but it's on all your podcast platforms. That is a show devoted, like this one, to creating purpose, prosperity, and joy in your life. Anyway, this individual was talking about functioning of your brain, how your brain works. And here's the way he described it. He said, your brain is programmed to prefer quantity of life over quality of life. So it makes all of its decisions based on survival rather than quality of life. Well, of necessity, that provides an excess power of protection, protecting us from any possible harm. Well, when we lived in a dangerous environment, when the world was more dangerous than it is now, maybe that was important. There's this television program that's been on for a couple of years, I think, called La Brea, and it talks about holes opening in the earth for some mad scientist, I don't know. And in that thing, they go back to 10,000 B.C., and in 10,000 B.C., there's a, you know, somebody's imagining what it was like in the same L.A. area, and there's all these, you know, wild animals, and it's dangerous. The idea being that in a more primitive time, we had more existential threats. And so the brain being programmed to prefer quantity of life over quality, it was programmed to see everything as a threat. So this protection mode is still in overdrive. You know what it's protecting you from now? Being embarrassed, looking bad, being wrong, being laughed at, being ridiculed, having somebody throw a tomato at you if you're up there doing a presentation, or imagining they might throw a tomato at you. So all of these things, you're trying to be protected from everything that might cause a negative feeling. Well, do you know what a feeling is? Fear. Fear of those feelings. Do you know what fear is? You can't bring me a teaspoon of fear. You can't bring me a brick of fear. Fear is simply a concoction of neurochemicals, neurochemistry in the body that come from believing a thought. Now, there's this picture here behind me if you're watching this, and it's a stylized depiction of a motorcycle racer. Now, if that motorcycle racer was bearing down on you, hell-bent for leather, and you thought you were going to be killed, your body would react. It would create a whole bunch of chemistry that you recognize as fear. You know, cortisol and adrenaline and a bunch of other stuff. So that happens to you, but it comes only because you believe that you're in danger. Now, if in fact that were a picture, but it was so realistic that you believed you're in danger, your body would create the same chemistry, even though you're not in actual danger. Now, if you don't believe me, I want you to do this time-honored experiment. If you imagine right now biting into a big, juicy lemon, and imagine the texture of the waxy skin and the lemon juice. I can't even say it without my mouth puckering and saliva forming, right? So that chemistry comes from believing a thought. And the thought that we mostly believe when we're afraid now is that somehow we are in danger. But the danger isn't mortal danger. We're not going to be physically damaged. We're going to be embarrassed, or we're going to be exposed as a person who doesn't know something, or heaven forbid, we're going to say something wrong and somebody's going to be upset with us. Well, those things are not dangerous. They're inconvenient. They may not be fun, but we act as if they are life-threatening. And so that fear in the cage of your life is absolutely so powerful. So when I said fear wasn't real, like you can't bring me a brick of fear, you can't, but the effects are pervasive and powerful. Oh, man. And they get in the way of so many things. Well, I knew I'd fail, so I didn't even try. I knew I wouldn't get the job, so I didn't put in an application. I knew they'd say no, so I didn't ask somebody out. I knew that my book wouldn't sell, so I didn't write it. I knew that I would look stupid, so I didn't volunteer to give the presentation. And on and on and on. So that fear gets in the way of so many things. And I want you to think as we do this, where's fear getting in your way right now? What are you not doing today or tomorrow that you know you could do and should do and probably have good repercussions for your life, good effect on moving your dreams forward, but you're too afraid? So I want you to think about that. All right. So C is compare. We compare ourselves to others. And when we do that, we come off poorly because we live in the belief that we're afraid and what will happen. We live in another silly belief that people are thinking bad things about us. You know what the truth is? People aren't thinking about you. They're just not. And so the idea that somehow people are thinking about me or you in a bad way, it's just nonsense. But we think it is. And so when we believe the thought, here comes all that chemistry. All right. The second letter, C-A-G-E, is abandon. So we do the comparison, right? And we come off second best. We're not doing good compared to so-and-so because of all these reasons. And then we say, yeah, and I can never do it, and it will never work for me, and, you know, I'll never whatever. You know the drill. And I want you to fill these blanks in for you because me talking about it isn't going to help you. I can tell you one that is true for me. I love music, and I've been playing the piano since I was very young, 5, and I'm 67, so 62 years. I taught piano starting when I was 17 and quit when I was about 57, so about 10 years ago, and so I taught piano for 40 years and taught jazz improv and everything else, and I've been in a choir that charted number one on Billboard a couple of times. Can you believe that? Yet when it came time for me to do solo work, I was terrified. I was convinced that I sucked and that I couldn't do this right. And so that was a barrier for me in exactly the same way that I have described. Now, I've gotten over that, and I now have several albums out of pop-style songs that I wrote to tell the stories from some of the books that I wrote. I didn't think I was an author either, so that's another thing. But I wrote about my transition and transformation. Then I wrote some songs to tell stories. So I have a whole bunch of music on Spotify. And because I have a weird name, Kellen Flukiger, you can find it if you're interested. But anyway, so when we do that comparison and we come off second best, then we move right to the A, which is abandon. Abandon our dreams. Abandon our hopes. Only we don't stand up and say, I'm abandoning my hope. Like Dante's Inferno, right? The sign over the gate to hell says, abandon all hope, all ye that enter here. Right? We don't do that in a formal way. We just kind of let things slide. Right? We put them off. Ooh, that's where that second bar comes in the cage. Fear was the first one. The second one is procrastination. Wow, why should I do anything today? I can put off till tomorrow. You know what? You're right. You can procrastinate all you want. Nobody's coming and nobody's going to make you not. But procrastination's the slow death of dreams. The person that rode this motorcycle, and I know it's a stylized picture, they didn't procrastinate learning. They learned. And they went to the track over and over and over again. And they learned the mechanics and the aerodynamics and the balancing and the positioning and all those things. They learned them. And consequently, they ride in a way that when you or I look at it and their knee is like half an inch or quarter inch from the ground and they're screaming around a corner, otherworldly, right? Well, procrastination is the slow death of your dreams. So if you're interested in killing off your possibility, your opportunity, and your dreams, go right ahead. Procrastinate your brains out. And when you get to the end, even the end of this year, where did the year go? Oh, man, I didn't get anything done. And then you think of all the reasons outside of you, of course, the weather, the COVID, the economy, you know, not support your partner or your parents or your kids or whoever. They didn't support you. So all these reasons are excuses. And that brings us to the third letter. Compare, abandon. The third one is grumble. Then we complain. We grumble about society, about the lack of support, about our lack of skill, about the bad breaks, about this and this and this. Anything that's outside of us, right? Anything but here. Oh, yeah, it's all out there somewhere. Ooh, yeah. Well, you're free to do that, but is that going to accomplish your goals? No, and you know what? It doesn't even really make you feel good. You might grumble and blame outside, blame everything and everybody else, but in your heart? Nonsense. You know the truth. And then what usually happens is we go on a tirade against ourselves and we yell and scream and call ourselves names. And we say, oh, you should have done this. You should have done that. Life's full of shouldas, right? I would be willing to bet that you right here, right now, speak to yourself in a manner that you would never allow someone to speak to your best friend. If someone talked to your best friend the way you talk to yourself, would you allow it? Would you intervene? Would you step up, defend them? I'll bet you would. But you talk to yourself like that all the time. So you grumble. You grumble at yourself. You grumble at everybody else about the circumstances. The last letter is excuse. So compare, abandon, grumble, excuse if you're locked in the cage. An excuse is that's when we give up. Oh, well, you know, it was never meant to be. It's not my time. It's not my opportunity. Oh, maybe next year. You know, and so we give ourselves a free pass for everything. And that's the way we excuse. And then the cycle starts all over again. Some event happens in our lives. We thump our fist. We say, we're going to change that. We're going to get in shape. We're going to make this money. We're going to do whatever it is, right? And then it's not easy. There's work involved. Incidentally, no one is coming. And yes, there's work involved. If you want to live your ultimate life, it isn't going to get delivered by Amazon in a package on the doorstep. It isn't even going to come if someone gave you $1 zillion. You know that because the stories are 90-something percent of people that win the zillion-dollar lotteries within some very short period of time are broke, defrauded, and everything else. And we always say, oh, yeah, but that wouldn't be me. Nonsense. Happens over and over and over again. So the cage, compare, abandon, grumble, excuse, is the place we stay locked up. We stay locked in that cage. Now, we've talked enough about that. If I were you, I'd be wondering, fine, how do we get out of here? How do we break that cage? Well, we're going to get there. I'm going to talk about that last bar, fear, procrastination, and the last bar is self-sabotage. And that's a funny one because, well, not funny, interesting. The reason that it is because sometimes we create success. Like you might get a promotion, or you might close a big deal at work, or you might, you know, land the relationship you wanted. All those things might happen. And then doubt kicks in. Well, I don't deserve this. I don't know if I can maintain this. I don't know if I'm worthy of this. How did I get here? Ooh, there's a book called The Big Leap, which talks about something called the upper limit. Like we have a happiness thermostat. And every time we do anything that success or happiness, that he bumps up against that or goes above it, it's like a temperature thermostat pulls you down. Ooh, I don't deserve this. That's a familiar one for me. I told you I went up and down this roller coaster and trashed, a bunch of very successful things that I'd created. Self-sabotage. So there you have it. Fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage are the bars that press against your skin and your soul when you're reaching with all your heart for that ultimate life. And while you're in there, you live in the world of compare, abandon, grumble, excuse. Now, let's get out of this. Let's break this cage because you can right here, right now. And here's the foundational principles. No one is coming. So just get over the idea that you're going to have some rescue thing. People spend so much time going after the right book, the right program, the right guru. I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to find this thing. People call it magic bullet syndrome or shiny object syndrome or whatever it is. And what they're thinking is, I'm going to go find that thing that's going to make what I'm doing okay. I don't have to change my life, or not hardly at all. It's like buying a magic sauce. I can pour on what I'm doing today to get some amazing results. Well, they sell that sauce on aisle 13 and a half at your local grocery store. It's kind of like platform 9 3/4, if you know the Harry Potter thing, right? There's no such thing. No one is coming. There is no sauce. There is no magic bullet. I'm not saying anything negative about all the sauces and bullets and tools and programs and books and self-help stuff that's out there, but they all take application and work. They will not fix you. You will fix you. So the C, now we're going to spell cage a different way. Compare, abandon, grumble, excuses over here, and that goes to misery and eternal procrastination and then ultimately sorrow. The end of the year, the end of the decade, the end of your life comes, and it's like, wow, it might have been this, it might have been that, I should have done this, I could have been a contender, if you've seen that movie. But anyway, so the new version of CAGE is, the C is CREATE. And I'll give you the acronym, and we'll talk about each one. Create, achieve, grow, enjoy. Create, achieve, grow, enjoy. And that's a new way to spell CAGE. Fear doesn't evaporate. And it isn't about feel the fear and do it anyway. It's just about experimenting with different things. If you have a fear of public speaking, I had a time when I was going to give a talk. And I'm not going to take time to explain the whole thing, but I have done a lot of public speaking, so I'm very good at it. But in this particular circumstance, I was speaking in front of a particular group who I believed knew all about my addictions and the rough past that I'd had because I'd published a book called Tightrope of Depression. And if anybody's interested in the details of that 30 years, why, you can read it in a book called Tightrope of Depression on Amazon. And if you put my name in, you'll find all the books, a whole bunch of them. But anyway, that book had been published a year earlier. I knew some people had looked at it, and I was terrified that because of the things that I talked about honestly in there, that I was going to, you know, it was very dangerous for me to go speak. And I, again, danger, what does that actually mean? So I had a coach at the time, and I was talking to him about this particular thing, and it was literally upsetting me enough that I was losing sleep. So I told him all about it, and he said, okay, fine. What's the worst thing that could happen? Like, really, no games. So I thought about it, and I thought, okay, the worst thing that could happen is they might throw things at me. They might boo me off the stage. They might yell and chase me out of the room. They probably aren't going to physically attack me or kill me or something. That's probably not going to happen. But they could do all these other things. So we characterize that together as they might chase me out of the venue with pitchforks and torches, thinking about the French Revolution, right? That might happen. And so he said, okay, let's assume that happens. They chase you out of the room with pitchforks and torches. What are you going to do once you hit the lobby of the hotel? Well, I'll be running, so I'll run out the door and, you know, run down to my hotel. And then what? Well, then I'm going to have dinner and go to bed. I'll be upset, but, you know, I'll go to bed. Will the sun come up in the morning? Yeah. What are you going to do? Well, I'll go back home and, you know, do this and that. I obviously won't go speak at that conference and probably other conferences again, so that avenue will be closed. Are you going to live? Yeah, I will. Will you be able to eat? Yeah. Will you be able to make money? Yeah. And so in talking that through, it became clear that if the very worst thing happened that I could imagine, I was going to make it through. And talking more about that made me laugh because it was so silly. And it turns out that, some people had read it. Yeah, there was a YouTube video put up trying to trash me, and some people who knew me defended, and eventually the video got taken down and a bunch of other stuff. But I gave the talk. I got a standing ovation and was asked to come back the next year to that very same conference because they hold it every year. So my ability to go give a powerful speech was directly connected to my realization that the fears were not without merit. Some of them actually happened, but they didn't control my life. So I created a new reality. I can live through the worst possible thing. I won't die. I won't even have a lasting effect beyond I won't speak at that conference anymore and maybe some related conferences. Okay. So the worst thing wasn't lethal, right? It wasn't real. And understanding that allowed me to create a new circumstance. The letter A is the next one, achieve. And so achieve is a big word. We set BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals, and we're told, you know, take massive action and set these BHAGs. You know what? Nonsense. Most people who set great big New Year's resolutions or other hairy goals, they quit in a month or a week or in a day. And the reason is because it's too big and too much. And as soon as we don't achieve some part of it, we give up. Well, I was on this regime to get in shape and I cheated and stuff. So I might as well quit. I might as well blow it. And then, you know, that day and the next day and the next day. And everybody's done that, right? In some form or another, maybe with health and maybe with some other goal. Here, I'm going to give you the success cadence. This thing I'm going to tell you right now is worth $1 billion. And it is this simple. I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. Now, this goes back to what I talked about earlier about there being no truth in our words. If you say something and you do it, what you do is you teach yourself that you tell the truth. If you say something and you fail, what you teach yourself is that you don't tell the truth. You're a liar. If you say things and you have a habit, you may have a habit of doing that. Lots, in fact, most people do, especially when they're making promises to themselves. They'll say, oh, well, I always keep my commitments to others, but my commitment to myself, well, I suck. If that's you, or if you have trouble keeping your word to others, that's fine. But if you are one that doesn't keep your word to yourself, here is the answer. Shrink the goal. Shrink the goal small enough so that I said it, I did it, is truth. Because then you teach yourself you can trust yourself. You're a person of your word. What you speak comes into reality. And you might think, well, if I shrink the goal too small, it doesn't even matter. It's not even a challenge. That's okay. You can set another goal and another one, and you can gradually increase the size. The important thing is I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. That's the key to any success. Shrink the goal small enough so that that becomes the truth of your being. I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. When that's the cadence of your life, you can accomplish anything. So the key to get that to be the cadence is shrink the goal until I said it, I did it. And if it starts with really easy, tiny goals, fine. If you only make 1% difference, you know, you have a goal here, do 1% of it. The goal is now 1% of that goal. Fine. Then add 1% the next day. Well, you can do the math real quick. In 100 days, it's 100 days, 100%. Maybe you can only do 2% in a week of growth, which is smaller than 1% a day. In 52 weeks, which is a year, you're going to be at 100%. And here's the thing. The calendar's going by either way. The time is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. The year's going to pass. The only question is, where are you going to be at the end? Still going, oh, I should take action. Oh, that goal's too hard. Oh, I didn't do it. Or are you going to be, I said it, I did it, I said it, I did it. And now you're in a position to say real big things, and you have ultimate and absolute confidence because you've created a success cadence that's invincible. The third letter in CAGE, C-A-G-E, create, achieve, grow, is the third one. And here's the promise I can make you. If you adopt that kind of life where you become a person of your word and you keep your word, the most important word is the one to yourself. That's actually more important than the word to others. So create, achieve, grow. You will grow. You will grow as a person. You will grow in your confidence that you can do what you say. You can create what you want. The confidence of others in you will grow because they see what you're being. And you as a person grow in trust, in love of yourself, in stature with others, because you are a person of your word. And your goals grow and your success grows and everything grows and grows and grows. And pretty soon, like compound interest, this just gets enormous. And there's nothing you can't achieve. And when I say that, people say, well, you're just dreaming. Nonsense. If I take one step after another and I never quit, no matter what, I can get any destination I want. There's no difference in achieving your goals. None, none, none. And if you want to argue and invent a difference, you can, but then you'll stay where you're at. Create, achieve, grow. And then the last one, E, is enjoy. If you create that kind of life, you have broken the cage. You have lived and are living a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy outside the cage, no longer kept from your goals by fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage. Break the cage is a real possibility. My work, I only do one thing. My commitment, my year starts October 14th. So my commitment from last October 14th to October 14th, 2023, is to help 50 million people. 50 million, you heard me right. 50 million people to discover their divine gifts and to serve with them. This Break the Cage framework is a tool that I use to help people identify their gifts and make choices to serve and overcome all the noise. And in the process, create clarity about their goals, their business goals, their life, their relationship goals, confidence that they can achieve them, and cash. Yes, you can create all the cash you want. There's an infinite amount of energy, an infinite amount of money, and it's all available to you. If you create the success cadence, I said it, I did it, I said it, I did it, and you continually live in a world of create, achieve, grow, and enjoy, you can have whatever you want. But it starts with who you're being. And that includes all the setbacks and all the people around you that do whatever they do. They're going to do that. And they're going to do it whether you grump about it, or they're going to do it whether you ignore it. They're going to do it whether you love them through it. You're not prohibited from being in a good mood no matter what anybody else does. Nobody can control you. That's a fact that we just don't live into enough. You might abdicate your feelings and how you're doing to someone else and something else, but that's your choice, and you can end that right here, right now. Now, my commitment this year is to help 50 million people discover and serve with their divine gifts. And so here's my invitation. My invitation is, if you want to live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, I am here to help you. I'm committed to help 50 million people. I've written 18 books all about different aspects of this subject. If you want to look at them, they're on Amazon. Just spell my name right. I've got 85 songs on Spotify, but the three albums, one's called Name of the Black, one's called Promise and Power, and one's called Oasis. And they're songs that tell these stories and teach these principles. I'm a coach. I have clients that I work through. We set very specific goals. In 90 days, you can get this done. We set out the map, and then I help them by holding them accountable with regular reports about how to get that done. So there has never been a better time to create a business. There has never, even with the recession and everything else, there's never been a better time. The world is your audience. There's never been a better time to change the story of your life. You are sovereign and you own it. You're free to choose to stay locked in a cage, or you're free to choose to break the cage, to create, achieve, grow, and enjoy. Now, I lived that roller coaster for decades. When I was 52, 15 years ago, something happened, and I was made aware in my own mind that I had a choice and I was going to change it. For the last 15 and a half years now, I've been working on that. And today, I live that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy every day. I love every single day. What goes on around me, I don't even care. I don't mind what happens. I might have to adjust what I'm doing because of it, but I don't have to get upset. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to blame. So I don't. The truth is, you own your life. The truth is, you can have your ultimate life today. The other truth is, I'm volunteering to help. If you want help, overcoming the obstacles, creating a business map, a plan to get the purpose, prosperity, and joy, I'm asking, offering to help. But regardless of whether you use my help or not, take away this. You own your life. Period. End of story. You own your attitude. You own the choice about whether or not you develop your gifts and talents. You own the choice about whether you eliminate fear, procrastination, and self-sabotage. You own the choice of living in a cage, compare, abandon, grumble, excuse, or breaking the cage, create, achieve, grow, enjoy. And as you make that decision, whether you do it on purpose or you default, and I urge you to do it on purpose, that choice every single time gives you power, gives you growth, and gives you more certainty that you own your life. And that is the road that leads you to your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.